If you look at the front end of what recruiters do from a sourcing standpoint, it's all engagement. How are you engaging with people? How are you getting people to talk to you? How are you getting people to respond to you? Sources or buckets of potential candidates are you going to? How successful are you with communicating with those people in those lead sources or candidate sources, whatever you want to call it? But it all comes down to engagement. And I think one of the brilliance that Salesforce has done over the years, and I've got to see a lot of this with being in the ecosystem so long, is this concept of what they call customer 360. We want to give you the full visibility of your relationship with your customer.
This episode is brought to you by Kylo Partners. Kylo are your Bullhorn specialists and Bullhorn's first implementation partner. Our solutions have helped over 950 companies worldwide to streamline, automate, customize, and get more out of Bullhorn. Our products provide you with tremendous ROI, including Kylo Awesome Docs, the complete document management system right in Bullhorn, and the most powerful data management tool in the ecosystem, Kylo Data Tools. To learn more, visit kylopartners.com.
This episode is brought to you by Leap Consulting Solutions. Our firm focuses on three areas of opportunity as it pertains to technology in our industry. First is expeditious acquisition of technology, helping you make quick decisions and good investments for the betterment of your organization. The second is business process change management and adoption. And then finally, evangelization of your new differentiators of your digital transformation. Call Leap Consulting Solutions today.
What is happening, Rob?
Lauren, I don't know how many hand signals I just made to let you know that it was time to record, but I made a bunch. I am fantastic. I am actually at home. You're still on the road, so.
I am. I'm in Boston. It's my husband's birthday.
And oh, Mr. Jones, happy birthday. I will sing to you and send it to you on Slack.
Yeah, he is 49 today, so, you know.
Were you robbing the cradle there, Missy? I see you.
Robin, he is 6 months older than I am, so,
Okay, that makes sense. All right, well, anyway.
You guys thought I was 50? Did you just
I thought you were
me?
Already. I didn't know, because you said you were last time. There's an episode where you say you are 50 already.
Yeah, I'm almost 50. I mean, when you get this close, geez.
I'm saying I'm 40 already, and I'm 39, so it's all good. Anyway. All irrelevant, all color commentary on Lord of Mine's exhausting travels. But we're super excited. We have a duo, if you will, a dynamic duo of staffing veterans. We have Brandon Metcalf and Greg Simons of Blueprint Advisors and of Assemble. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I said Greg's name first because I'm sure Brandon always gets recognized first. Just throw a little twist in there.
Whoa. Thanks, Rob.
This is starting off well.
I like to make it a little sassy to start, guys. Don't worry. But no, super excited, guys. We've been friends with these guys for a while. Blueprint, which Greg heads up with Brandon, does some really cool work in the industry for other products. I won't say the name, but worked very closely with Greg for that, especially on some of our larger clients. Brandon, always been a fan. I was at Bullhorn when Bullhorn acquired Talent Rover and Salesforce. I really distracted my managers, so thank you for that. They were figuring out Salesforce for the 6 months that I was onboarding. That was super, super fun. But yeah, it's been really, really good to kind of get to know you guys and see what we're building for the industry. And by the way, Brandon has a fantastic podcast called Cash and Burn.
Not Crash and Burn.
Well, it talks about nearly crashing and burning. It's the whole theme of
maybe since you were here, before we even get into it, do you want to give like a quick insight to why you started it? Pitch for the podcast.
So Cash and Burn, the whole theme of the show is I talk to other SaaS founders and executives about, you know, the things that no one talks about, but we all talk about behind the scenes, like what are the biggest challenges you're facing and how do you overcome them? We always hear about everyone being successful. But for anyone who's ever built a company, you know that there's blood, sweat, and tears and gray hair and all the other things that come with it that no one really talks about. So I get to talk to CEOs ranging from like Henry Schuck at ZoomInfo to smaller early stage companies and really figure out like the big challenges they faced, how they overcome them, and, you know, ultimately what has made them successful. It's a lot of fun. It comes out every Tuesday.
What happens? What's the biggest threat to any business? Running out of money, right? So.
Yeah. And it's like money is a symptom, but it's not really the cause. Time is usually the cause, but it's fun to hear, you know, when you have Henry, highly successful CEO, built an amazing multi-billion dollar company. So his first customer was in staffing. You hear him talk about early days of him using a personality that he could actually do cold calls and stuff like that. So no one knew it was the founder selling. I mean, it's fascinating to hear some of the stories and see what people have done.
That's really cool.
Doing the Carol Shelby selling the car. Listen, 7 times.
Everyone's in sales, right?
Especially everyone's in sales.
Everyone is in sales.
Yeah. So anyway, so guys, if you guys weren't aware, Greg and Brandon actually built and were the founding team of Talent Rover, which is now Bullhorn for Force, or the basis of it. And these guys are now working on a new ATS, or not full ATS, but a add-on possible ATS if you need it to be, but on the Salesforce platform. And I am a big fan of Salesforce. I have lots of trailheads that I've done. I've never actually had to manage my own Salesforce instance, but I definitely know enough to break someone's if they let me. So, you know, why, guys? Like, why was it important to you post Talent Rover, you know, 3 or 4 years, like 4 or 5 years removed now, to kind of come in and build something for the platform?
Yeah, I mean, it's been about 5 years since we sold Talent Rover. You know, the thought process here is when we sold Talent Rover, like, was never any huge immediate desire to go and build something else in the space. I've actually been very busy building another company called Place, which is completely different. It's for SaaS companies. And then, you know, we've also been building, and Greg leads this on a daily basis, building Blueprint Advisory, which is a consulting company that helps other companies build, or primarily build, Salesforce-based businesses. So the product development, go-to-market, and all of those different types of things. So, you know, the reason why we're back in recruiting, and I would say recruiting specifically, because our product isn't just for staffing, it's for recruiting. Like, we're focused on corporate recruiting as much as helping the agency side or the staffing side as well. We just saw the need. Most of the technology that's available in recruitment is a bit outdated. Like, I'll just use my own experience of Talent Rover. You know, I started to conceptualize that product in 2009, and then we went to market with it in 2011. And yes, we tried to innovate as fast as we can, but that still the architecture and the tech debt with that product is old. The world has changed. And if you look at so many other industries, there's some really cool tech out there that helps really drive business efficiency or different business processes. And I still see in recruiting, you're forced to use mostly outdated systems that just create a bunch of workarounds and a lot of extra work, which we're trying to solve. And, you know, I've been in Salesforce ecosystem since 2004, building Salesforce-based companies since 2009. So I've really got to see how Salesforce has evolved in thinking through the concept of creating a business process-specific recruitment workflow tool that gives you a lot of flexibility for you to decide what your workflow is. Tied in the Salesforce environment just gives a level of value that I don't think anyone else is really providing. So that was my interest. I mean, Greg, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, very similar. I think one thing that you said is, you know, the technology available to staffing companies specifically, I think that, you know, these companies have largely been technology laggards because it's a very big industry for those of us that serve it. But for companies like Microsoft or Salesforce, it's a far cry from banking or fintech or healthcare or biopharma. But one thing that I think has happened recently is with COVID, if you recall, everybody shut down and then staffing companies flourished. And there was a huge uptick in those publicly traded companies and their stock prices. And all of these companies almost overnight had to transition their business from what has historically been done in person. You walk into a company and they have a whole floor at the bullpen, right? It's loud, it's fun, it's exciting. And that had to change to a digital engagement first strategy in a matter of weeks. And because of that, there was so much influx and investment and purpose-built products to solve unique pain points that these companies faced on a daily basis, as opposed to the blanket technology approach of those products that had historically existed. And so I think for us, you know, if you look at the subset of customers that were already operating on Salesforce, they had a much easier pathway to transition their business digitally because they were built on a foundation that could grow and scale and change with them. And for whatever reason, you know, Salesforce has always lacked in just core ATS functionality. And so for us, taking the lessons that we learned previously, not only from Talent Rover, but also from actually running a desk, each of us, Brandon and myself, came from the industry and really just, as Brandon mentioned, really wanted to create a meaningful way for a company to represent any type of hiring process that they would need to manage for staffing and for corporate HR and internal hiring alike. And so I'm really excited about, you know, what the future holds for companies now to acquire purpose-built products. And I think that what we've built is really transformational, and we're excited to get it into the hands of a lot of people out there.
And especially, I mean, the advisory side of a lot of the business. I mean, we've been collaborating directly with Salesforce for a while now on all things recruitment, and excited about their excitement about where this all could go and the opportunity. So it's a fun time for us to be doing what we're doing.
I think what I'm most excited about is I used to have this argument with my sales director all the time. You know, I used to say that the sales process starts with recruiting, doesn't start with the sale. If you don't have the people, you don't have the sale. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And so in my head, I love the fact that we have this sales tool now potentially being used, or now being used as a recruitment tool. Because listen, recruiters, you are salespeople. You're just talking to a different person. And I love the recruiters that are like, I'm not a salesperson, and those types of things. But you are. You're talking to the candidate. The salesperson is talking to the customer. It's the same conversation, different person. And I think the more that we can create cultures and environments, you know, and sort of philosophical structure around the idea that we're all salespeople, the more we're going to look at technology in a way that enables that.
Yeah, I understand that. I never understand people who don't think that they're salespeople. It's the best sales ever. You're helping people with their career and making money.
I got to tell you, as a young recruiter, though, it scared the hell out of me. You know, I don't want to go cold call, not realizing that every time I was having a pipelining conversation, I'm having a cold call, you know, and it just was a little growth in my career to understand that. So I just think that,
now you leave sales for your own business.
Right. Well, it's an age old battle, right? Recruiters think salespeople don't know how many people they have to talk to fill the order. And salespeople think recruiters don't know how many doors they have to knock on to get the order. When we're both doing the same thing and driving towards the same thing, we're just talking to different people to do it. And so the fact that this is powered by, you know, the number one CRM really excites me.
Yeah. And I did a podcast earlier this week, actually, with a good buddy of mine, and it was purely focused on talent acquisition, so corporate HR. Mm-hmm. And what we really talked about was if we get rid of the term salesperson, if that doesn't sit well for recruiters in either, right? Staffing could be perceived more salesy than corporate recruiting, but it's, in my mind, recruiting's recruiting. So if you think about what recruiters have to do, they have to identify candidates for jobs and move them through the various different stages of those jobs. And each of those jobs, jobs types, industries, whatever, you can have different stages. And that's really our focus with Assemble, is how do we give you the flexibility inside the solution to create whatever stages and actions and processes you need. So you're not forced to go to use Excels and work around and all that stuff, because that just leads to inefficiency and complete lack of visibility for the company as to actually what's happening. But also really hurts the recruiter to understand where they're spending their time and where they should be optimizing. If you look at the front end of what recruiters do from a sourcing standpoint, it's all engagement. How are you engaging with people? How are you getting people to talk to you? How are you getting people to respond to you? Sources or buckets of potential candidates are you going to? How successful are you with communicating with those people in those lead sources or candidate sources, whatever you want to call it? But it all comes down to engagement. And I think one of the brilliance that Salesforce has done over the years, and I've got to see a lot of this with being in the ecosystem so long, is this concept of what they call customers. We want to give you the full visibility of your relationship with your customer. I look at that a little bit differently. There's so many powerful tools that Salesforce offers that if you have the full power to use those tools, they're engagement tools, reporting tools, process tools. So if you think about what a salesperson does or a marketing person does with leveraging those tools in Salesforce, How do I get in front of people? How to communicate with people? How do I make it so stupid simple for them to communicate back with me? How do I document all of that? How do I report off of all of it? If you get rid of the word sales and you just think about how are you engaging from a sourcing standpoint with the candidates you're targeting, getting them to actually respond to you, especially as we move into, you know, well, what we've been in, and then the 2023 is going to be an interesting year. How do you do that? And how do you do that with really a leader in the technology space that obsesses about engagement and making salespeople successful with that engagement, but flip it on its head and say, how does a recruiter use it to take advantage of all of that's been put in place? You know, when we came up with the idea for Talent Rover, it was, I wanted a platform that has a lot of that capability. The main focus of Talent Rover is we wanted an all-in-one solution. We wanted to do everything from A to Z to run a staffing firm. My mindset of that has now completely changed because I know, looking back at what we did, some of the stuff we did really well, and some of the stuff we just didn't do that well because we weren't experts on it. But the connecting with candidates, like, it was always a driving thought of, why does this need to be in Salesforce? Because I knew Salesforce was going to continue to innovate and come up with the best ways to do that, which is what we've seen over the years that Salesforce has gone from this, you know, smaller company to their path to becoming a $60 billion company here soon. And they just passed SAP. They're doing something right.
Right.
I remember when you brought up something earlier, Lauren, about, you know, candidate engagement. Brandon, you're hitting on it as well. The thing that's great about Salesforce, though, right, is you are, you know, anybody who has a pulse, who knows what's going on in the tech industry right now, has seen mass layoffs, right? And so, yeah, of course, any recruiting company, the knee-jerk reaction is candidate acquisition, candidate engagement, candidate. When I started my career in 2009, really fun time to be a recruiter. If you recall what the economy was doing back then, trying to get people jobs. Lucky for me, I was wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, but I didn't know any different. But what I will say is that the power of Salesforce, powered with our ATS, it allows a company to react to market conditions. Because in a good economy, when you have low unemployment, your ability to make money is going to be purely generated in your ability to identify and recruit candidates that you can place on your thousands of jobs. Job order acquisition is not an issue because everybody's hiring, everybody needs help. But when you start to see changes in the economy and all of a sudden unemployment starts to rise, you have mass layoffs, you need a system now that can pivot while still allowing for you to recruit and attract talent. But more importantly, you need a system now that can manage outreach that can start to help drive customer acquisition, job order acquisition, so on and so forth. And what better tool to do that than Salesforce? You know, that's they built their business on.
But also, let's be clear. I mean, Salesforce is not the be all and end all. Like, we, every time we went up against them in Talent Rover, we won the deal because Salesforce is an amazing platform. And I see this on my other business place, right? Where we sell specifically to SaaS companies and we sometimes compete with Salesforce product as well. Salesforce is an amazing platform that you can do anything that you want to do. That's also one of its worst qualities, that you can do anything you want to do with enough time and money. So our focus is old philosophy in tech. And Lauren, you know this better than probably anyone. You can build your own custom solution. You can buy an off-the-shelf solution. And what we see is there's a path to bridge those two things together, which is why we call the company Assemble. Our vision is you can assemble the tech stack you want to solve the business process specific things that you need to solve. So you're not forced to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to customize Salesforce to become something for recruiting, but you're also not buying a full blown operating system that has all of these components built in, but you may not need all of that stuff. You get to go and pick what you want to use and why you want to use it from the vendors you want to use it from and not have to pay the whole.
Well,
price.
Lauren's going to be excited about this. So go ahead. I know a question you're going to ask.
Well, do you? Now I'm curious. What was I going to ask?
Well, you were going to say, speaking of price, guys, you know, sometimes you buy things or you have to pay for things that you may not use.
Yes, it drives me. It's the one thing about SaaS that's always sort of rubbed me the wrong way as a consumer. So remember, you know, I bought for $1 billion organization and $1.5 billion organization, and I've bought for the little guy too. And so there are two things here. One, it sickened me as the person in charge of my P&L to have so much waste in, you know, no sort of understanding of specific users or characters, or Greg, you had a great name for it. What did you call it? Personas, at least primary ones. You know, a sorcerer is never going to use the CRM. And so it always rubbed me the wrong way that I still had to buy a full boat, you know, user profile. And it felt like hundreds of thousands of dollars wasted on product that was never used. And so this idea that we can piece together via personas, a good solution seems to me a win-win, or at least equitable. I'm getting my ROI and I'm not paying for things that I don't need. Then secondarily, having built a stack for a small organization, Salesforce always seemed like this thing that I could never afford. Yeah. And so what I'm hearing is that it's tangible today. It always seemed, you know, like something that I couldn't go reach and grab for that $25 million firm. And so this excites me that A, even for our enterprise firms, we're not going to have the waste that we've had in purchasing, you know, traditional SaaS, but B, that we have now created accessibility for the customers that I'm really passionate about. Our startup agencies and those $20 million to $100 million firms that are just putting in the grind to get it done. We want to enable them in a really meaningful way with the best technology and allow them to scale when you know they have all of the pieces there to do that. So those are the two things that excite me the most.
You built Leap for the small guys to help the small guys.
Correct.
You've been helping everyone, but your goal was to really help the SMBs.
Well, there's a few price points that have to go into it, right? So yeah, you can look at overall license price. That's one price. You also got to look at how much does it cost to implement, customize. I love when you talk about customize because we feel about it the same way. And then what do you do to maintain it and support it on an ongoing basis? So when we first announced the Assemble ATS and we announced the price, I got some phone calls of people going, how in the world are you selling this thing for $25 a seat?
Bananas.
And is it, you know, everyone's going to have to drop their prices and all of that. And it's like, no, we're looking at, this is a business process specific app that does one specific part of the journey that's designed for specific users that manage that one part of the journey. So they need the license and they still need a Salesforce license, or you know, we do work with the other recruitment systems built on Salesforce that it could be added to as well, but they need a user license and then they're bolting on us just like they would bolt other things on. But the price point then becomes affordable because they can control who needs it, how many licenses, and it's still going to align with a lot of the other systems that are out there. Then the other side of it is it's already built. You're still buying a product, an app, for that specific thing. So you're not going to have to spend the fortune of trying to develop and customize and do all of those pieces that are really the hidden cost that will kill you.
Yeah. I had a client of mine said something that's stuck with me for a while now. And Lauren, this might resonate with you in your former life of buying commodities and developing differentiation. And I will be the first to tell you that ATS, in my mind, is very much a commodity. The act of moving candidates through a process leading to a placement is something that's been done since the beginning of time, recruiting, staffing, or otherwise. I would, though, argue that the differentiation, and having been, you know, selling Talent Rover, every single staffing company I talk to tells me how they do it different. And my ignorance at the time was like, no, you don't do it different. It's all the same stuff. Like it's all the same, but it's really not. And after you do a lot of reps and get your ego out of the way, you do realize that the way that these companies differentiate themselves is in how they are able to define a process that their recruiters can follow to create the most efficiencies that represent their business. And so when we set out to build the ATS, we built it with the intent that companies can buy a commoditized product with a license, but the flexibility of it is really where they can configure their differentiation. And now all of a sudden you have a tech stack on Salesforce with ATS that allows you to use your technology as a differentiator to your competitors, right? Now you have a system that is working for you and it's changing with you so that if you do hire or sign a large contract with a large strategic customer, for example, that needs to have five steps done before you submit a candidate, you can represent that. You can have a hiring process for a customer, for a hiring manager, for a line of business, for a department. This goes on and on.
Ying, I think the thing you said that makes the most sense to me, right, is works for the recruiter. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the future of the technology working for the employee instead of, and I say this a lot, is your recruiters and salespeople are inherently lazy and they're not going to work for a database, right? But if you put things around the ATS that are going to help them, that are going to work for them, they're going to be incentivized to, one, use the system better, because two, it's going to help them with what they're trying to do, right? Whether putting people to work and then, you know, obviously making those places, making money off of it are worth it. So
yeah,
I think working for the recruiter and like having the flexibility of adding tools that can do that very easily. And then also very easily based on if they're an RPO, right? If they're like sitting on site, or if they're doing traditional staffing, or if they're doing healthcare, which is a beast all upon itself. Right. So mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. And I think it's less of even having, you know, working for the recruiter. It's investing in a platform that does the administrative stuff automatically, right? It's actually having a way to create a workflow so that your recruiters can focus less on, okay, now I need to move to this step, and more on the technology notifying them of the next best action that they need to take and what that action means in the sense of an actual process. And that's what I think is so important, is I think that, you know, even as much as technology advances and there's more products that are out there, the most effective recruiters are, they're human beings, and they create and cultivate real human relationships with people. And that's why they're so successful. And so our goal in creating the product is rooted in letting recruiters be human and create relationships that is going to allow them to be successful. And then the system should just be stupid simple. So it's like, all right, this person's in the next step. I don't have to think about what that step is because it's right in front of me.
I have a golden rule. Rob knows what I'm going to say. Automation on repetition, people on relationship, period.
There you go.
And if you can follow that golden rule, you will not make some of the messy errors that others have made when they try and force relationships into automation, because that really doesn't work. This is still a human industry. So, you know, automation on repetition, people on relationships, rinse and repeat that.
I think we need to make like a Pee-wee's Playhouse word of the day on next best action. Like anytime someone says that about technology, Lauren, we should probably like have a soundbite for that. You know?
Yeah.
Because that is huge, right? Like helping recruiters understand the next best action based on, you know, historical data. That's going to say, hey, if you're in the RPO division, Greg, or if you're in the traditional staffing version, Greg, like at this stage, you need to do like one of these things. And that would be,
that's absolutely less
people's day, right? Like too much time gets eaten up on any number of things, whether it's administrative or just the wrong action that's going to lead to better outcomes, right?
It is. And it's also rooted in what Lauren talked about in terms of, you know, having a generic license that has all the features available to all users in the company. And yeah, we're talking about this from a workflow standpoint, but it's also specific to the analogy that I have is your cable provider, right? You're paying for 2,000 channels a month. Maybe you only watch 20 of them. That's what frustrated Lauren. And I'm sure that she's got her Apple TV with her HBO apps and everything that she wants to watch because she doesn't like the all-in-one solution. To that point, right, we think that the overall value that these companies will get at the per employee level will be far greater than it would otherwise be. And more importantly, that value is then represented in what the experience each employee has when they log into their system to perform whatever it is that they need to perform for the day.
So let me ask you this. As we head into 2023, one of the things that's always kind of bummed me out about the Salesforce AppExchange is that nothing's organized for our industry. You know,
not yet anyway.
So that was, let's talk predictions, because that has always, over 7,000 apps in the AppExchange, I mean, it's bananas, all of the innovation and creativity that goes on in there. And then I go in there as a, you know, consumer of staffing and recruiting, and it kind of looks like nothing speaks to me. Right.
Well, they just did a big refresh, which I think was very long overdue and very needed. So it's getting better. But, you know, I mean, the staffing space or talent services space has not been a organized focal point, I think, for Salesforce for years. It'll be interesting where we see that they want to go with it. There's been products in the past that have tried to focus on the corporate HR piece of Salesforce and have failed. So there's been some effort there. But, you know, with us, with Assemble, I mean, we're talking with multi-billion-dollar companies right now about doing recruitment. And these are corporate HR clients. doing recruitment using Assemble on Salesforce. So I think, you know, my predictions for 2023, and I talk a lot about this on Cash and Burn and just with a lot of the place clients in general, is 2023 is definitely going to be a challenging year. How challenging? We have yet to see, but it's going to be rocky for sure as we start to navigate it. And, you know, on the staffing side, staffing's always been a really interesting industry when it comes to economic changes, because, you know, on a tight economy, you see temp go up, and then a booming economy, you see perm go up. And how do you ride the wave and switch your focus and all of that? So
yeah,
I think overall in technology, you're going to continue to see this Assemble type of approach where companies want to buy specific products to solve specific needs. And then where I'm hoping we can help evolve things pretty quickly is by connecting the dots for those products so that you can just turn them on essentially and assemble the tech stack that you want. You know, we'll see where this goes, but I think capital efficiency is something we hear about a lot. I talk about a lot with running companies. It's not just growth for growth at this point. It's how are you running your business? How are you being cash efficient? How are you maximizing every penny that's going out of the business to gain as much as you can? And I think that's going to be the real thing in 2023. You're seeing it in the public markets now with the reason why the stock market's been all over the place, because corporate valuations are down. You're seeing that in the private sector too. And 2023 should continue that. Hopefully, we don't go into a deep recession, but I think everyone's expecting the worst and hoping for the best, trying to get through the year as quick as possible.
Lauren and I heard from an economist. Oh, look, yeah. Greg, sorry, I'll let you go. We heard from an economist who had some interesting predictions. So if you don't follow ITR.
ITR, Alan Below, he's an economist. Yeah. He and his twin brother run. I signed up for his. First of all, he was hilarious. But secondly, I think he took a little bit of fear out of everybody, but it was
the most depressing, uplifting. It was the most depressing, uplifting keynote that you could ever experience. Probably only could be delivered by an economist.
Yes.
All right, Greg. Sorry, predictions 2023. And then we're going to wrap up because we got to go.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I echo everything that Brandon said. I think my two cents on it is that companies are going to be forced to make decisions that are going to be tough for business owners in terms of how they're managing expenses in a variety of capacities. And that's ultimately going to result in how do they think of ways to do more with less. And I think that the way that they do that is they are investing in technology that allows you to automate the repetitive things and be more efficient at the per employee level, manage costs, and also create a way to be dynamic and proactive in your engagement with your customers, whether those are sellers or candidates or corporate HR trying to say why somebody who just got laid off from Twitter should not go work at your company because you're selling your wares. And so I think that at the end of the day, people are going to continue to march forward, and I'll have to listen to that economist, but yeah. I think that there's a lot of opportunity to just continue to create greater efficiencies with purpose-built products that serve recruiters. So excited about that side of it.
I love it. Well, guys, thank you so much. Flexibility without full customization and having to pay for it sounds like a dream.
Well, I think the new saying, Chris Lucas is saying, buy when you can, build when you must. But now I think it's going to be buy when you can, build when you can.
I thought the new saying was assemble your tech stack.
Oh, man, that guy must be in marketing. That was a great branding line. Well, shout out to the marketing team at Blueprint and Assemble.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you guys. You. And always if you guys haven't checked out Crash and Burn, that is a great show.
Crash and Burn.
Sorry.
He was going to get it in there.
I knew he was going to squeeze it in.
Crash and Burn, every Tuesday, check it out. Brandon is... definitely. I mean, Brandon's other business place is probably one of the most fascinating things about Salesforce for me, because it gives you insight into how you're spending money and moving, you know, how forecasting and all that good stuff that businesses want. And because everything lives in Salesforce, and if it does live in Salesforce, you can do a better job of it. So I'm a big fan of that as well. Anyway. All right. That was my sales pitch.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandon. Right. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
So, signing off, this is Rob.
And I'm Lauren.
Now go do something good. Thanks, guys.